Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that it's not, we're not in control of it?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, man, I think of John 10:28. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. Oh, you get ready. Yeah. I'm sorry. I went to my wife. You may have seen me. Pastor won't mind this. I know he won't. I didn't ask him, but I know he won't mind it. If I just had it on my heart all day, I'm tempted to ask him to sing that again, but I just believe that this is God's will. And so I'm going to ask my wife, and I think my daughter's going to come help her. But Pastor this morning in his message, well, I don't know if it was in his message or an introduction or what, but he mentioned God is always good. He's only good.
Amen.
And I caught that when he said that this morning. It's been on my heart all day today. And I don't know. I just feel in my spirit there's somebody here tonight. You need that reminder. You need to be reminded that God is always good.
Amen. Amen.
Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Doesn't matter what's going on in our world. God is only good.
That's right.
He's always good. Somebody asked him to sing that song for us this evening, but I do want to say this while they're getting prepared. I'm going to let them sing. Y'all ready? Amen.
Upon my life, always seeking my best. There were times when your way would make no sense, but as you said, you have never left. You are always good. You are only good. You are my sin is great and my strength is so small. Still you stay and your mercy shelters me. You hold my hand and you hear my call. You are always good. You are only good. You are always
Amen. God is good. He's always good, as the songwriter said, but better yet, the Bible says our God is a good God, and
amen.
Praise him for it. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, I assume you're in Matthew chapter number 5, and I'm going to continue our study in the Sermon on the Mount. At this point in the study, we're looking at what I've called the good life. And I told you I was going to go through these, I think I said two by two, and then I've kind of slowed it down and went one by one. And so, as Pastor said, at this rate, if the Lord tarries, we'll get through the Sermon on the Mount about this time next year. But I believe we'll pick it up. I was actually, when he said that, I was reading ahead a little bit, and I was thinking, we'll pick it up here once we get through these Beatitudes. And then I started looking ahead, and I was like, I don't know if we will or not. This message Jesus preached is loaded. Amen. It's loaded with truths for our lives. And so we'll just kind of go through it as God leads. That's what I want to do, and so that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm still trying to get over that song they sang, that first song. I'm so glad it's not in my hands tonight.
Hey. Right.
I am so glad that my salvation is not up to me. It's up to him. And he's going to do what he said he was going to do. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's going to hold us fast. He's going to keep us all the way to the end, and I praise his holy name for it. I want to look at Matthew chapter number 5 tonight, and I want to continue looking at what I've called the good life. We've been looking at these Beatitudes, and in previous messages, we've seen that Jesus is preaching this great Sermon on the Mount. And as he begins his sermon, he opens up with these statements of blessing. And he opens up and he says, blessed or blessed are. And nine times the Lord Jesus uses that word of blessing. Oh, the blessedness of. Oh, the happiness of is what Jesus is saying. And as we've looked at these, I've said numerous times throughout these messages, and I want to say it again tonight, that I believe that Jesus is not speaking as much about what we do as he is about who we are and what we have as a Christian. And we're blessed. We're living the good life. But I do believe that there is a dual application in these Beatitudes, and so I've tried to present that as we've looked at it. I said in my first message that I believe these are evidence of salvation, but they're also exhortations after salvation. I thought about it this week in preparation for this message, and I thought of another way to explain it. I want to explain it to you this way tonight, and I believe everybody gets it, but just in case someone doesn't understand what I say when I say that, is I believe that these Beatitudes can have a positional teaching. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus is saying, for those that are in Christ, right? Those that are saved, they're blessed, right? Those that have come to the place of salvation, and we've went through this process of being poor in spirit, realizing we can't do anything without him, right? And mourning over that situation that we're in, and becoming meek and pliable and humble and allowing God to work in our lives, and then hunger and thirsting after righteousness and becoming merciful, and all these things, not only are they evidences of salvation, or not only are they a part of our position, right, in Christ, but there's not just a positional teaching here. There's also a practical teaching, and that's how it applies to our everyday life. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
So these Beatitudes, there's a positional teaching. I do believe that. As you look through these, I don't think that you can deny what Jesus is saying. Positionally speaking, if you are in Christ tonight, you're blessed. Okay? You may not realize it. You may not be enjoying it at this moment in your life, but whether you realize it or whether you enjoy it or not, if you are in Christ positionally, you're blessed. You're living the good life. But there's more than just a positional teaching in the Beatitudes. There is a practical teaching. This is how it applies to our everyday life. And I really believe that truth is in these Beatitudes. That positionally speaking, when we're in Christ, we're all these things. We're blessed, right? We have Christ. We're in Christ, and we're blessed. And we have all these things that Jesus is speaking of. But practically, we need to also be applying them in our everyday life to really experience and to really know that blessed life, that good life. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. Shake your head up and down if it does. I hope so. Amen. And so we're looking at these from that point. Not just how they are for us in evidence of our salvation, but also how they exhort us in our Christian life. And so I want to look at this next beatitude tonight, the sixth beatitude, and look in verse number 8. The Bible says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. No doubt of maybe all of these Beatitudes that we've looked at, this one may be the most clear in that teaching that I just mentioned. Because there's no way that you can be pure in heart if you're not in Christ. Okay? Now I don't have time or maybe even the ability tonight to show that to you, but I don't think that I need to, because it's Sunday night and I'm speaking to a group of people for the most part that have been in church long enough to know that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Jeremiah said that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so in ourselves, we cannot have a pure heart. But in Christ, we're seen through his righteousness. As Pastor Brandon said this morning, we exchanged our sin for his righteousness. And the Bible says that we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so the only way that we can have a pure heart positionally is to be in Christ. But even as a child of God, even as someone that's in Christ positionally, I also believe there's a practical part of this being pure in heart. And that's what I really want to look at tonight. And so I want to look at blessed are the pure in heart. And I want to try to give you a couple things about that tonight. Number one, the first thing I like to do is kind of the way I preached it last Sunday morning, very similar, but I want to explain it to you. I want to give you an explanation. What is it talking about? I believe most of us understand for the most part what it's teaching, but I just want to give you a brief explanation of what I believe the Lord is talking about when he says, blessed are the pure in heart. And so let's look at that. Let's try to break it down. Let's try to explain what it means. Now, obviously, when Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, he's not talking about the organ, right? We all understand that. Though, may I say, you are blessed if you've got a good heart, right? And I mean that. If your heart is pumping and it's working the way that it's supposed to work, you're blessed. But that's not what Jesus is teaching. He's not talking about our organ. No, I believe it's very clear that Jesus is going beyond the organ, and he is talking about the very core of who we are, the center of our being. I wrote here that it is the fount from which everything comes, is what Jesus is talking about. We make statements like this. I make this statement a lot to my wife. She's like, oh, no, I hope, who knows what he's about to say, right? But I even make this statement to my younger children. My older children look at me crazy if I said this to them. But Emery and Ren, I make a statement like this to them often. I tell them, I love you with all my heart. You say, what does that mean? I love you with everything that is within me. I'm not talking about with the organ, and we get it mixed up sometimes. I know we relate our heart with our feelings, but you got to understand in the Bible, and I believe this is very clear, and I'm going to give you a couple verses to prove it here in a minute. The heart is not all about the feelings; it's about the thoughts.
Right, that's right.
It's about the inner you. We say, I love you with all of my heart. That means with everything that's in me, I love you. We make the statement that I love you from the bottom of my heart, or I mean it, from the bottom of my heart. What are we saying? We're saying from the very core of who I am, I'm making this statement. And that's what Jesus is talking about. We'll use the phrase, we need to get to the heart of the matter. What is that? That's the core. That's the very center of what we're discussing. And that is what Jesus is talking about when he says, blessed are the pure in heart. He's talking about those that when he speaks of that heart, he's talking about the very core of who you are, the very center of your being, the fount from which everything flows. I'll give you some verses of scripture to back that up. Genesis chapter number 6. My Sunday school class has been going through Genesis. And Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says this, that God saw that every imagination, listen to it, of the thoughts of his heart, not his mind, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that phrase is used numerous times in the book of Genesis when God is talking about the heart of man. He says the imagination of their thoughts, that inner person, that one that you talk to and talks to you, that's your heart. That voice that's in your head is your heart. It's the core of who you are.
It's the center of your being. And that is what Jesus is talking about. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, thefts, adultery. And he goes on and lists all these wicked things. And Jesus says they come from the heart. It's the heart. It's the inner of man. It's the very core of who he is. And so I'm spending a little time on this because I want you to understand. And I believe that you do already. But I just want to really clarify to the Jewish people. And that's who Jesus is predominantly speaking to here. To the Jewish people, the way that we would discuss our mind. I had something heavy on my mind, or I've been thinking. They would use the heart. And we do as well sometimes, but that's who it's talking about. It's talking about that inner man, that inner you, the very core of who you are. That's what Jesus is speaking of when he says the heart. And so we look at, he says, blessed are the pure in heart. So we understand what the heart is. It's the center. It's the core of who we are. But what does pure mean? I was thinking about, Brother Mark, I couldn't stop thinking about you when I was studying this, because Brother Mark tests water, and he would know a lot more about this than I do, but he came and did a water test at my house, and he told me I have pure water. And because of that, I had to put some type of filtration system on my water. You would think pure water is a good thing, but pure water is I don't know what the word is. It's abrasive. It wants to attach itself to something, right? But we talk about purity. What is purity? What does pure mean? And so I want to try to give you a biblical description of purity, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I've got three words that I came across that I really thought described this word pure. Number one, it's undefiled. That's what purity means. If you look it up in Webster's dictionary, literally one of the definitions that you will see is to be undefiled. It's to be clean. It's without spot or tarnish. Now we know, as I've said already, our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So without Christ, we can't have a pure heart. But in Christ, we can. Amen. And so what is a pure heart? It's one that's undefiled. It's one that's undiluted. In its fullest form, it's not watered down. When we talk about something being pure, we think of something that's in its natural state. It hasn't been diluted. It hasn't had something added to it, and it hasn't been watered down, and the strength of it been taken away from. Not only is it something that is undefiled and undiluted, but it's something that is undivided. If you look up the word pure or purity in a Webster's dictionary, you will find this definition as well. It is something that is without hypocrisy, something that is single. It's undivided. We talk about the Bible, the purity of the Word of God. What is that? God's Word is pure. It's undivided. It's undefiled. It's undiluted. It's the pure Word of God. And Jesus says, blessed are they that have a pure heart, an undefiled heart, an undiluted heart, an undivided heart. And positionally, that's who we are in Christ. But practically, that is something that we need to pursue. Are you with me? That's where it's going to get real here. Positionally, in Christ, we're undefiled. Thank God for it. Amen. If you ain't said amen all day, you ought to say amen right there, because your desperately wicked heart, the heart that's thoughts are continually, the imagination of the thought is wicked and evil continually in the sight of God, that heart is undefiled. It's without spot. It's without tarnish. It's without blemish, because when he sees your heart, he sees it through the blood of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so positionally speaking, our hearts are pure. They're undefiled. They're undiluted, they're undivided in God's eyes. But in this life in which we're living, practically speaking, we also, I believe, need to try to pursue a pure heart. And I think I can show you that from the Bible tonight. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 4 real quick. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And look at this. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There's that singleness I was talking about, that undividedness I was talking about. He said, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Fix your heart on him. Have an undivided heart, a singleness. I think it's in Colossians, Paul talks about a singleness of heart. Right? And so we're talking about a pure heart. And the Bible here in James chapter number 4 says that we're to draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to us. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. So the Bible says that we need to purify our hearts. The Apostle Paul talked about it in many different places where he told us to mortify our members, right? He said you need to, there's some things that you need to do in your life in order to purify your heart. And so we see number one, the explanation. I explained it to you, what a pure heart is. Now I want to talk to you about experiencing it in this life. And in the life to come, in God's eyes, positionally speaking, we are pure hearts. But in this life that we're living, we still got this old flesh. And the Bible says that we need to pursue a pure heart. Ain't that what James just said? That's what James just said. James said in chapter number 4, there's other verses, but I'm just giving you one. He said, purify your hearts. That's something you need to do. That's something I need to do. That's something that involves us. And so that's practically speaking in this world. There's some things that we need to do in order to purify our hearts. And if we're going to see God, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. So number one, we talked about the explanation. We explained it. Number two, I want to talk to you about how do we experience it. And I'm going to be honest with you. These are going to be very, very elementary, you may say, primary teachings here. But you know what? That's what we need sometimes. The real practical. We just need to be reminded of things that we already know. And so I'm going to tell you how we purify our hearts tonight. I want to give you a couple ways the Bible tells us to have a pure heart. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if we have a pure heart, the Bible says we'll see God. Can I tell you that's what we need tonight?
Amen.
We need to see God. I don't know about you, but I want to see God. Not in eternity. One day, thank God, we are going to see him face to face. But I don't want to wait till eternity to see him. I'm convinced this evening that we can see him now. We can see God. Maybe not right here in front of us visibly. But I think it was Moses in Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible talking about Moses said that he forsook Egypt. He said, seeing him who is invisible. That's what it says. Moses forsook the pleasures in Egypt, seeing him who was invisible. Moses saw God. I think it's in Peter. He says we have unspeakable joy, full of glory, right? Talking about because we see God in this life. We can see God. But if we're going to see God, I think it's in Hebrews chapter number 12. It says, I think it's chapter 12 of Hebrews. Talks about without holiness, you can't see God. Without holiness, no man can see God. And we could go through the Bible and we would find over and over. I think it's in Isaiah, it says that our transgressions have separated us from our God. If we're going to see God, we need to have a holy life. We need to have a pure life. We need to have an undefiled, undivided, undiluted heart, the center, the core of who we are. I've been giving you titles to each one of these messages. For those of you that have been keeping up, I said we talked about the first one. We said their awareness, and then we talked about their agony, and then we talked about, I can't even remember my own A's. But tonight, I'll tell you this one. It's their authenticity. Their authenticity. You don't even try to write that down, Brother Brian. Google it later. Their authenticity, right? They're authentic. That's what a pure heart is. It's genuine. It's real. It's authentic. And if we're gonna see God, that's what we're gonna have to be. It's genuine, real, in the very core of who we are. We gotta be without hypocrisy. We've gotta be inside what we are on the outside. I'm just gonna preach here for a little bit. You know, Jesus is talking to these Pharisees, and you know what Jesus was telling these Pharisees his entire ministry? The pastor mentioned it in his message this morning, over and over and over. Jesus was telling this crowd, you've got it looking real good on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. He said, it's not about what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside that matters. These people were ate up with external things. They were religious as religious could be. And Jesus was telling this religious group of people, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. It's not about all those rituals and all your rules and all that you've added to the laws of God. It's about the inside. It's about the heart. It's about being authentic. It's about being real. Those Pharisees were not real. You don't have to read long through the Bible to see that Jesus told them numerous times again. He says, you're not real. You're one way on the outside, but inside your heart, you're something totally different. And he's telling these people, be authentic, be real, have a pure heart. And if you do, you'll be blessed. And so how do I do it? Well, number one, you got to be saved, all right? You got to be saved. I almost just skip right over this point, but just in the event there's someone here tonight that's not, maybe there's some young child that's been in church for some time, or maybe there's even an adult, you've been here for some time, but you've never been born again. Can I tell you, you cannot have a pure heart without salvation. For with the heart, the Bible says, it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's the heart. If you shall believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, and confess with your mouth, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And so the only way that we can have a pure heart is to be saved, number one. But I believe I'm speaking mostly to a group of saved people tonight. You say, so how practically can I have a pure heart? Well, number one, you need to be saved. Number two, you need to get in the scriptures. John chapter 15, verse 3, I know this is very elementary stuff, but are we doing it? That's the question. Are we in our Bibles? Because Jesus said in John 15, 3, he said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know how you get a clean heart? You know how you have a pure heart, an undefiled heart? The word of God. Psalm 119, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We talk about hiding God's word in your heart. We're not talking about hiding it in that organ. We're talking about hiding it in that inner man, in the core, in the center of who we are. Hide the word of God down inside of who you are, because it's going to help you to be pure. The word of God is pure. Pastor said that you worship, you'll become like. And I'm not saying that we worship the word of God, but really you can't separate the two. Jesus is the word of God. He's the living word of God. And so when you get in this book gets in you, and you know what it does? It purifies you. It gives you a pure heart. We ought to get in the scriptures, because it's going to give us a pure heart. So number one, we need to be saved. Number two, we need to get in the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts. There it is again. The thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, the word of God can get where nothing else can. I'm convinced tonight that I can get up here and I can scream as loud as I can scream, and I can tell you I probably couldn't because I'm not a very good storyteller, but I could tell you a real tear-jerking story, or I could give you some great illustration, but at the end of the day, there's only one thing that's going to get down into the very core of who you are. It's going to get down into the very center, the fount from where everything comes, and that's the word of God. You see, the word of God gets deeper than anything else can get. It gets down deep and beyond the bones and beyond the marrow. It gets down into the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You say, why is the word of God so important? Because that's what's going to give us a pure heart. That's why we need to get up every day and, whether we feel like it or not, read this Bible, because it's going to clean us. It's going to give us a pure heart. That's why all the preaching. People think we're crazy, all the preaching we have going on. What's all the preaching about? We're trying to have pure hearts. That's what it's about. The word of God. It's the scripture I've hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. It's the God. The word of God is what's going to give us a pure heart. I know you know that, but I'm trying to remind you of that tonight, because the pure in heart's going to see God. And we need to see God. That's the very pastor mentioned it this morning. That's worship. Seeing God. There's no greater thing. As I was studying this passage of scripture, so many men that you'll read after would say that this is one of the mountain peaks of the Word of God, this verse of scripture. Because it talks about seeing God. And that is the very essence of who we are as a Christian. That's what we should desire, is to see God. And the Bible says that the pure in heart, they will see God. And so how are we going to do it? Number one, by being saved. Number two, by getting in the scriptures. Number three, by supplicating. Psalm 51 verse 10. That psalmist said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I read after one man, old Puritan writer, Watson. Some of you probably read after Watson. He said this. He said, men will pray more for full purses than for pure hearts. Men will pray more for full purses. Back in their day, that must be what they called their wallet. For full purses than pure hearts. It really don't sound all that wow until you really think about it. You do inventory in your own life. How often do we ask God, God, give me a pure heart? God, give me an undivided heart. God, give me an undiluted heart. God, give me an undefiled heart. God, at the very core of who I am, help me to be authentic, to be real, to be what I am on the inside and on the outside. God, help me to have a pure heart. The psalmist said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 86:11 says, unite my heart to fear thy name. 1 John 1:9, we love that verse of scripture. It says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that's how we get clean, is through the word and through prayer, through crying out to God and confessing to God our sin and our situation. And some people believe that these Beatitudes, don't chase this rabbit, but some people believe these Beatitudes are like a mountain you're climbing up, and in 1, 2, 3, and then number 4 is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and then it goes down the other side of the mountain and they all connect, and they talk about how that the poor in spirit, those that are poor in spirit, they are those that are merciful, and those that are mourning are those that have a pure heart. When you realize your sin and you mourn over it, and you ask God, you're sorry for it, and you ask God to forgive you of it and to cleanse you of that sin, and that mourning takes place, then it's followed by a purity of heart. There's a cleansing that goes on. And God creates in us a clean heart. Only God can give us a pure heart, brother. We can't do it. Only God can. And God says, hey, blessed are the pure in heart. It comes through salvation, comes through scripture, comes through supplication. It comes through separation. Look at John, you in James chapter 4? You're in James chapter 4, right? Look at verse number 4. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not? I want to say, James is talking to Christians here, okay? He's talking to Christians here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see, he's talking about, he started out before we got to verse number 8, he talked about being in friendship with the world. Go to 1 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians. I'm moving fast. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians. Talking about having a pure heart. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And we quote that verse of scripture, and a lot of times we stop right there. But keep going. These chapter divisions are great and they're really helpful to us, but I don't know that they're necessary all the time. Look at verse chapter 7, verse 1. The thought keeps on going. He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, look at it. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Look at it. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Sounds like to me he's talking about having a pure heart. He says we want to have a pure heart. We want to have an undivided, undefiled, undiluted heart. What are we going to do? We need to be saved. We need to get in the scriptures. We need to supplicate and ask God. We need to be separated. I know separation is like, you know, some people just get very carried away with it. But can I tell you, it's biblical. Separation is probably what's stopping some people from having a pure heart. There's some things in this world that we just need to separate from. There's some places in this world we should not go. There's some people in this world that we should not spend too much time with. There's some philosophies of this world that we ought not allow to get into our hearts. Because we can't have a pure heart if we don't separate ourselves from these things that will defile us. The Bible says he that walketh a wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It says evil communications corrupt good manners. See, if we're not careful, we'll spend too much time with people and places and things that we shouldn't be spending our time with, and it'll dilute it, it'll defile our heart. And so there needs to be some separation. And then last, and I'm done. Turn to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. I think most of you know where I'm going here. Verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You say, what's gonna purify us? How are we gonna have a pure heart? Well, number one, you gotta be saved. You gotta be saved. You've gotta get in the Bible. You gotta get in the scriptures. Can I tell you, if you don't read your Bible on a regular basis, you don't have a pure heart. You've got to supplicate. You've got to cry out to God. God, create in me a clean heart. God, unite my heart to fear thy name. You've got to supplicate. You've got to separate. There's got to be some separation between us and the things of the world. But then last, we need to focus on the second coming. Focus on the second coming. Amen. He said, everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This thing's acting like it wants to come off on me here. I got it hung up in my coat. It's all right. We're going to be all right. Amen. That's an amen. I guarantee it. I probably don't even need this thing. The second coming. When we focus on the fact that Jesus is coming again, you know, and I'm not just talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the fact that one day we're going to stand before God. One day, those of us that are saved are going to sit at the judgment seat of Christ. And the fact that Jesus is coming ought to motivate us to live a pure life. When we wake up every day thinking, Jesus could come today. Jesus is coming again. Doesn't matter whether it's today, tomorrow, or a year from now. Can I tell you, Jesus is coming again. And when he does, we are going to be judged for the way that we lived our lives. And that very thought ought to make us live a pure life as he is pure. He's coming again. And whether we want to or not, we're going to stand before him. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before him with wood, hay, and stubble. I want to stand before him and try my best to have a pure heart when he comes and to be living an authentic Christian life when he comes, because the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so the salvation, the scripture, supplication, separation, the second coming, that is what's going to help us to have a pure heart. So we saw, number one, I explained it. Number two, I'm talking about how to experience it. Number three, the expectation of it. You say, what's it all about? You're going to see God. You're going to see God. I think this has numerous teachings in it, but as far as I can tell, and if Pastor knows better, he can elaborate on it. And I mean that, but I've studied it out, and I do believe that it's talking about those that are saved, that are pure in heart, that are undefiled, undivided, undiluted, those of us that are in Christ, positionally speaking. One day we shall see him as he is. We're going to see him. But even in this life now, I believe those that are pursuing a pure heart can see him in this life. I thought about this and I'll close. The Christian that's pursuing purity of heart sees God everywhere. But when we let our hearts, the core of who we are, the center of our being, get divided. Are you listening? If you haven't been listening, listen now, because this is important. When our heart gets divided, James said, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve him. And if not, serve Baal. When our hearts are divided, when our hearts are not pure and undivided and undefiled and undiluted, we don't see God the way that we do when our hearts are where they need to be. And if you've been saved any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. When you're walking with God, when you're in the Bible, when you're in the scriptures, when you're supplicating, when you're focused on the second coming, when you're separating from the things that would hold you back from living for God, you see God everywhere. You wake up in the morning, you walk outside, and you ride down the road, and you look out into the distance, and you see the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains, and you say, wow, what a God. You go to work and things, people come up to you and they tell you about things that are happening in their life, and all you can see in their life is God. You see the blessings of God. You see the provision of God. You see the protection of God. Everywhere you look, when you're living a pure life and your heart is pure before God, you can't help but just see God in everything. I was thinking about our pastor this week. Brother Brian, he told me when I come in here tonight, he said, well, Pastor, that's what we need. I said, it might be what you need, brother. Good night. I don't know if I need that. But you know what it'll do sometimes? You've been there. God help me to get it another way. Amen. But when your heart can't focus on other things. And when you're spending time in the scriptures and you're forced to the prayer closet, and you're supplicating, and you're seeking God, and you're thinking about God, you know what starts to happen? You just can't help but see God. You see God in everything. Thought about Brother Ouellette. Some of you may be following Brother Ouellette and his surgery. What a man of God. Amen. Had his voice box removed, but you know what he's seeing? God. Amen. In every step of it. Him and his dear wife are documenting day by day their journey through this cancer and through the removal of his voice box. And you know what they're doing? They're seeing God every step of the way. And for those that are pure in heart, we can see God in every avenue and every aspect and every day of our life, we can look and see the hand of God. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, hey, if you see God, you're blessed. And without having a pure heart, you won't see God. See, there's somebody here tonight, you haven't seen God in a long time. You say, I don't ever see God. It's like God's not even there. Well, maybe it's because your heart needs to be purified. Maybe you need to go back to the Beatitudes, and you need to start with number one and work your way up to number six, and you need to get in the Scriptures, and you need to supplicate, and you need to separate, and you need to focus on the second coming, and you need to see God again. Because Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to see God.
Amen.
I'm going to have the pianist come. I'll have a word of prayer. It goes along with the message, so I'll say this now. I've got a couple announcements here in a moment, but as the pianist is coming, some of you prayed for me this past week. I did a funeral on Friday. And some of you prayed for me, and I sure do appreciate it. I just want to give you an update. I saw God. That's such a blessing.
Amen.
I couldn't even imagine to explain to you the situation. But my wife was able to go with me, and it was obvious. You could see God. Now, we may have been the only ones there that saw him, but he was there. See, you can when you have a pure heart, when you're living an authentic life, you see God. Sometimes, if we're not careful, this old world will get us dirty, and we won't see God. We'll see all the things that are around us, and we'll get distracted, and our hearts will get divided, and we'll get defiled. And positionally, we're still pure. Are you listening? But practically, we're dirty. And God says, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. You need your heart pure, because then you'll see God again. That's how we see God. Pianist, you can begin to play, and you can stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed.